scientific research and discovery in respect, as we should, we must also be alert to the equal and opposite danger that public policy could itself become the captive of a scientific, technological elite.
We've signed a climate convention on the importance of economic instruments and free markets. Were included in this mammoth Agenda 21 document and the Rio Declaration. Now, let me be clear on one fundamental point. The United States fully intends to be the world's preeminent leader in protecting the global environment.
Coming up, Technocracy News. Greetings from Technocracy News and Trends. Patrick Wood here, editor-in-chief and founder of Technocracy News and Trends. Today's stories all have to do with biology and the human condition. You'll see as we progress how they seem to tie together, even though they're three distinctly different stories. Story number one today is a rather sad story because it involves children again, and probably not in the way that you would think, especially with all of the climate strike activity going on around the world, where young children are being manipulated to take to the streets and fear for their lives in a sense that if they don't change society, they'll all be dead in 12 years. This story is titled Gender Dysphoria Proving Deadly to Thousands. And the story is rather shocking. I wasn't aware of this until I read it, actually, and I just was rather shocked. But I wrote at the top of this article, teaching pre-adolescents that gender dysphoria is normal and acceptable is proving deadly for thousands of unsuspecting children who are administered gender transitioning hormones. And just to set the record straight, for those of you who are maybe unfamiliar with this term, gender dysphoria, one definition reads like this. Gender dysphoria involves a conflict between a person's physical or assigned gender and the gender with which he, she, they identify. People with gender dysphoria may be very uncomfortable with the gender that they were assigned, sometimes described as being uncomfortable with their body, particularly developments during puberty, or being uncomfortable with the expected roles of their assigned gender. Definition aside, what has been discovered now and revealed in this article is that the drugs that are being administered to these young children are proving to be deadly. Listen to the article. The Food and Drug Administration has documented thousands of deaths linked to the puberty-blocking drugs now increasingly given to children who suffer from gender dysphoria or claim to be transgender. Between 2013 and June 2019, the FDA recorded 41,213 adverse events, including 6,379 deaths and 25,645 serious reactions in patients who took the hormone blocker known as Lupron, the same drug given to children who say their gender identity is not consistent with their biological sex. Luprolide acetate, known as Lupron, is clinically approved for the treatment of prostate cancer in men, endometriosis in women, and for a short period of time, precocious puberty, a condition in which children begin puberty at a significantly younger age than is considered normal. Lupron is also used without formal FDA approval as a puberty blocker on the increasing number of children and adolescents who are being diagnosed in the U.S. and the U.K. with gender dysphoria. This is being done with the support of the American Academy of Pediatrics and Endocrine Society, despite the fact there is no evidence that such hormonal treatments actually benefit children and adolescents with gender dysphoria. The American College of Pediatricians has compiled significant research on the effects of puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones on children. Complications related to the drug's use include malignant tumors, cardiovascular events such as heart attacks and blood clots, suicidal behavior, and other psychological disorders, brittle bones, and painful joints, and, get this, sterility. Dr. Jane Orient, executive director of the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons, confirmed to Breitbart News in email comments that while some of the deaths reported by the FDA could have been patients who died of prostate cancer, the problem is that very little is known about the use of Lupron to treat healthy children deliberately to block normal maturation. Lupron is off-label for lack of long-term study, she said, adding, quote, it undoubtedly causes irreversible loss of fertility and many other adverse effects that are potentially lethal. It does not turn a male child into a female child, only into a eunuch who will lose his full potential for growth and strength. Children have no capacity to comprehend these long-term consequences, so the use of this drug in gender-confused children constitutes unethical experimentation. Informed consent is not possible. Gender transitioning hormone treatments have been successful for pharmaceutical companies. In 2017, AbbVie, which produces Lupron, observed sales of the drug were $669 million just in the United States alone. California-based endocrinologist and specialist on childhood gender dysphoria, Dr. Michael Laidlaw, has noted the medical industry is looking at a windfall as a result of patients seeking out treatment for gender dysphoria. Big pharma, big hospital systems, surgical centers, and doctors seek to gain huge profits, Laidlaw said. Lupron monthly is $775 alone. That's a $27,000 pause button at 5 years of age. Multiply this together with the huge rise in cases documented or observed in Western nations, and a major windfall is to be had. Well, this is a story that you can finish by going to Technocracy News and Trends and reading the whole article yourself. This is very disturbing on multiple levels. The whole concept of gender dysphoria is causing a lot of dissension around the world with parents, with teachers, with families, and the fact that these young people are being administered dangerous drugs by the medical community that they would otherwise trust is just inconceivable. And yet the numbers are rolling in, and they're being recorded by the FDA, and now they're being reported. And again, the FDA reported between 2013 and June 2019, that's just 6 years, that 6,379 deaths have been attributed to this hormone blocker known as Lupron. This madness just needs to stop. We need these young people, their human lives, just as much as anybody else in the world, regardless of how confused they might be. And they don't deserve this kind of treatment. The next story is just a little bit strange as well. It's back to Elon Musk again. Musk is interested again in sending 100 people to Mars. Well, perhaps 100 people. That's how many people his spaceship will hold. He's built a new spaceship, and he's contemplating what many are calling a suicide mission to send up to 100 people to Mars. Well, Elon Musk is the consummate modern technocrat, and whose grandfather was head of the Technocracy, Inc. movement in the 1930s and 40s. He's also a member of the elite outer space cult looking to colonize Mars. That's not everybody, by the way, but there are a few big tech titans that are dead set on colonizing outer space and including Mars, and that would include Elon Musk, for one, highly visible personality, and also Jeff Bezos of Amazon. He has his own rocket ship company, and he would like to colonize outer space as well. Well, this article states Elon Musk is a cancer. If he'd been born a week earlier, on June 21st instead of June 28, he'd be a Gemini. And that would make much, much more sense. Because while he isn't very crabby, cancers are crabs, and that's the extent of my astrology knowledge, he certainly is a two-spirited human. Musk plans on sending as many as 100 people. We're not sure the exact number, but his all-new Starship seats that many to Mars by 2024, just 4 years from now. That plan is ambitious and in many ways necessary. According to Musk, it's imperative that we do everything in our power to preserve consciousness. which he fears could be unique to humans. What if we're all alone in the universe and an asteroid destroys Earth? The loss of consciousness would be the greatest loss in the history of, well, everything. Musk's Starship, according to him, will take humans first to the edges of the Earth's orbit, then to the moon, and finally to Mars and beyond. He hopes that we'll colonize new planets, effectively making us resilient against a single point of failure that is our monoplanetary residency. In other words, Musk wants to get people living on backup planets as quickly as possible. This all sounds great, but getting humans to Mars isn't a matter of building a big spaceship that goes really fast. It's not just rocket science. Assuming that physiological complications don't make the entire endeavor a literal nightmare for those involved, there's also the currently unsolved problem of how human exposure to space radiation over extended periods is probably lethal. Astrobiologist Samantha Rolfe from the University of Hertfordshire published an article on The Conversation explaining how, in her view, Musk's endeavor to put people on Mars could have catastrophic results. Not only does she point out that humans could introduce microbiology to the red planet that might kill any living organisms out there. Imagine, as NASA is repeatedly close to announcing it's found life on Mars, we up and murder it in post-haste. But it is likely to be too dangerous for humans on such a short time frame. She writes, quote, "Deep space is not without its dangers, but at least working in low Earth orbit, on the moon, and on the International Space Station, the Earth's magnetic field offers some protection from harmful space radiation. Mars doesn't have its own magnetic field, and its atmosphere provides little shelter from cosmic radiation. Astronauts would also be exposed to deep space radiation for the minimum six-month journey between planets. Though plenty of work is being conducted, radiation protection technology is a long way behind other aspects of rocketry. I'm not sure that it is fair or ethical to expect astronauts to be exposed to dangerous levels of radiation that could leave them with considerable health problems or, worse, imminent death. On the one hand, Musk is the hero who wants to save the very thing that makes us human, our consciousness. He's willing to sacrifice his time, though we're certain he won't be making the maiden voyage to Mars himself, and massive brain power to see us to Mars as quickly as his coffers and sketchboards can get us there. Well, Elon Musk is slightly unplugged on going to Mars. There is no public demand for this, certainly. This is his a priori dream, perhaps from childhood, to colonize outer space and to travel in outer space. Well, like the article says, he probably won't be one of the first people to go into outer space. The third article has to do with Eric Schmidt. Eric Schmidt, as you know, is the former CEO of Google. Then he became the chairman of Google's parent, Alphabet. He has since retired from Alphabet, remains a consultant to both Google and Alphabet. The headline of this article is Eric Schmidt, Biology is the Next Frontier in Computing. That was his statement, that biology indeed will be the next frontier in computing science. I wrote at the top of this article, Eric Schmidt, former chairman of Alphabet and CEO of Google, a member of the elite Trilateral Commission and a consummate technocrat and transhuman, seeking to conquer death itself. Eric Schmidt has been known for many outrageous statements over the years. The article states, brain inserts in carbon-absorbing bacteria aren't just the fantasies of Silicon Valley's richest executives. They're also a part of a larger hope to advance artificial intelligence and computing efforts. Biology will undoubtedly fuel computing in coming years, former Google CEO and current technical advisor Eric Schmidt said at a conference called SynBioBeta in San Francisco on Monday. Taking biology, which I'd always viewed as squishy and analog, is turning it into something that can be digitally manipulated, is an enormous accelerator. Schmidt's comments come as Silicon Valley's seeming obsession with biology attempts to move beyond fascinating projects and into more serious investments that could help modernize tech processes. Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg this year announced he and his wife Priscilla would donate $68 million to support the mapping of all the cells in the human body. Facebook also recently acquired a company called Control Labs that lets you control computers with your mind. And Neuralink, a startup once backed by Elon Musk, announced its brain computer will start trials on humans next year. I'm always interested in this question. What is changing the fastest right now? Because whatever that is, determining the history of next year, Schmidt told the crowd, there's a lot of evidence that biology is in that golden period right now. I'll give a short observation on Mark Zuckerberg's investment of $68 million to support the mapping of all cells in the human body. Many years ago, we had the major initiative to map the human genome. That process took quite a few years, but scientists believe they did it. And then under President Obama, he launched a program to map the human brain. And a lot of money was invested into that at universities around the world, and especially in the United States. Mapping the human brain now has paved the way for things like brain-computer interfaces that can be implanted into the brain. And now Mark Zuckerberg is taking that a step further by seeking to map all of the cells in the human body. Where this will go, nobody knows. But when you combine all three of those areas, your DNA, your mind, and your body, you have the entire scope of humanity in your hand. Depending on who takes control of such knowledge, this could be a very dangerous and risky proposition. If you haven't had a chance to read either one of my books on technocracy, that is Technocracy Rising, The Trojan Horse of Global Transformation, or Technocracy, The Hard Road to World Order, I would suggest that you pick up a copy at Amazon.com or on the Technocracy.news website. On Amazon.com, you'll find that there is a Kindle version as well, and there's also an audiobook that is preferred by many people who would prefer to listen instead of read. If you purchase the printed copies of books on Technocracy.news, there's a very steep discount schedule where you can buy 10 or more books at half price. I do this so that people can use the books as giveaway items to pass out to legislators, to civic leaders, to family members, friends, associates, etc. I'm Patrick Wood for Technocracy News and Trends. Catch you next time.